beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord. Oh, beloved, welcome to Sweet Melodies. I'm your host, Funke Ohuna. I'm bringing us again to the topic, Stand, which we began the beginning of this year. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be looking at another aspect of standing. This aspect is on stand alone. Now, the concept of stand alone syndrome goes against the very nature of how God created mankind. In the book of Genesis, it is clear that God did not create individuals to function independently of Him and other creatures. Instead, He created us to work together in harmony and to rely on Him for our needs. This is evident in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. The word of the Lord says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that liveth upon the earth." This verse, my brother, my sister, reveals that God blessed mankind and, you know, commands them to have dominion over the earth. This dominion is not meant to be exercised individually in all sense, okay? But rather as a community of creatures working together under God's guidance, okay? First, this can be better explained with revival, okay? Revival always begins with a man, okay? And it never ends with a man. Revival can begin with a man, but it needs more men for the fire to do or to spread and be sustained. Also, to better our understanding, in the natural, we have something that is called, you know, the ecosystem, right? Let's look at the way mankind dominates every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The best example at this moment is hunting. Okay? The act of hunting. Hunting is a popular activity that has been practiced by humans for thousands of years. It is a means of survival for our ancestors, and today it has evolved into recreational activity, even for many. Over time, the hunting activities have also, you know, changed, and one of the most significant differences is that the approach as these changes occurs is that group hunting is being introduced, you know, as opposed to individual hunting that used to be. Now, group hunting is when a group of individuals work together to hunt and capture their prey. On the other hand, As for individual hunting, it's when one person goes out on his own to hunt for their prey. Both approaches have their advantages and disadvantages. However, the focus of standalone is for us to explore the differences between, you know, working alone and then working as a community of believers. Okay, so in this case, working alone as an individual hunter and working in a group with other hunters. One of the main advantages of group hunting is the increased chances of success. When hunting in a group, each member brings in their unique skills, they bring in their unique strengths, you know, to the table and making the hunting more efficient. For instance, some members may be skilled at tracking, while others may excel at slit and hunt on ambushing. Okay, so the division between labor allows the group to cover a large area and increase their chances of catching their prey. Moreover, when we look at group hunting, it also allows for sharing of knowledge and experience in a group. There is diverse range of skills and techniques that can be shared between the members. Okay, and so members can learn from each other. This is not only you know, good for the individual hunters, you know, because they are working together in the community, but it also, you know, like the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. The hunter's abilities also improve and also strengthens the bond within the community. So group hunting can be a social activity in the real sense, you know, creating a sense of comrading and teamwork among members. While on the other hand, individual hunting has its own set of advantages. One of the main advantages of individual hunting is you have freedom, you have independence as it offers. Okay, when hunting alone, one can choose their own pace and techniques without having to rely on others. This allows for a more personal and meditative experience, as one can connect with nature without any distraction. Individual hunting also requires a certain level of skill and knowledge, unlike group hunting, where one can rely on the abilities of others. Individual hunting demands a high level of self-reliance. This can be a rewarding experience, as it allows one to test their abilities and limits. However, individual hunting also, you know, has its own drawbacks. One of the major disadvantages of standalone as a hunter is there's the increased risk of danger. There's no one there with you. So when hunting alone, there is no one to watch your back. There's no one to provide assistance in the case of an emergency. You're there alone. You face it alone. This can be especially risky when hunting large and dangerous animals, you know. So as an individual standing alone, there's a limit to your breakthrough. There's a limit to what you can do walking alone, standing alone. Are we together? God did not create us to be standalone. Hallelujah. So individual hunting have this negative impact also on the environment, you know. With increased popularity of hunting, there's a concern that individual hunters may end up over hunting, you know, and deplete the population of certain species of animal. And this can disrupt the balance of the ecosystem and have long-lasting effects. So when we consider group hunting and individual hunting, they both have their advantages and disadvantages. You know, group hunting offers increased chances of success. Knowledge sharing is on the, you know, on the high side. And then, you know, there's this environment created for social bonding. While for individual hunting, it only allows you for freedom and personal experience and self-reliance. Yes, this is good. We need freedom. We need, you know, there's a time you need to consecrate yourself, to separate yourself. Such time alone is good, all right? However, it's essential to practice, you know, whatsoever you do, make it, do it responsibly. That's what we're saying, okay? Whether as a group or as an individual. The standalone syndrome goes against the science and biology of the ecosystem. Standalone syndrome, also known as me, myself, and I mentality, is a term used to describe the behavior of individuals who prioritize their own needs and desires over the well-being of, you know, larger community or the ecosystem. This syndrome is becoming increasingly prevalent. You know, it's growing more and more in our society today, especially with the rise of individualism and consumerism. Nevertheless, this mentality goes against the, you know, basic principles of science and biology, which emphasizes the relationship, the interconnectedness, and the interdependence of all living things in the ecosystem. So the ecosystem is a complex network of living and non-living components, you know, that interact with each other to maintain a delicate balance. When you look at evapotranspiration, okay, that's a very good example. Every organism, from the smallest microbe to the largest animal, plays a crucial role in this balance. Each species has unique purpose and function, and the removal or disruption of one can have a ripple effect on the entire system. This is known as the domino effect, where, you know, the loss of one species can lead to the extinction of another, ultimately damaging the ecosystem. So standalone syndrome disregards the fundamental principle of interdependence as created by God and focuses solely on the individual's needs and wants. This mentality often leads to overconsumption, often leads to exploitation of natural resources, and without consideration the consequences. You know, for example, the depletion of fish stock due to overfishing not only if affects the fishermen who rely on these resources, but also disrupts the food chain and impacts other species that depend on these fishes in the water bodies for survival. Also, the burning of fossil fuels, emission of greenhouse gases by industries and individuals have contributed to climate change, which has severe consequences for the entire planet and its inhabitants. Okay, so the standalone syndrome goes against the laws of biology, which highlights the importance of cooperation and symbiosis amongst different species that exist in nature. Okay, there are countless examples of how living beings work together and benefit from each other mutually. For instance, we have bees that pollinate flowers, which later produce fruits and seeds, providing food for animals and ensuring the continuation of plant species. Okay, this symbolic relationship is essential for the survival of all living beings in the ecosystem, and the disruption of this have catastrophic consequences. So the science of ecology also emphasizes the concept of ecological balance, which refers to the equilibrium between various components of the ecosystem. Each organism has its role to play in maintaining this balance, and the removal or addition of one can have significant impact on the entire system. So the standalone syndrome is a dangerous mentality, and it's one that goes against the very foundations of even science and biology. It promotes selfishness, promotes individualism, you know, with severe consequences. Man was created to keep and to tend the garden. As responsible creatures of God, we are to keep and to tend the earth. All right? It's our duty to understand and appreciate the interconnectedness and interdependence of all living beings in the ecosystem. Only by working together and considering the well-being of the entire system can we ensure the sustainability, you know, of the earth and the future of ourselves and generations to come. Praise God. So, in a nutshell, the ecosystem is a natural system put in place by God to ensure that all living things function together in an ecological unit. And each organism has a role to play in this ecosystem and is dependent on other organisms and the environment for its survival. Into this world, there is so much turmoil and negativity. And it is crucial for us to check on those around us. This is where we are drawing our focus from. As believers, we're encouraged to, reach out to friends, to family, to colleagues, to ensure they are doing well in every aspect. Praise God. So in today's world, where there is so much turmoil and negativity, it is important for us, very vital for us, to check, often on those who are around us. We encourage you to reach out to family, reach out to friends and colleagues, to ensure they are doing well in every aspect. This act of love and concern is not foreign to the body of Christ, my brother, my sister. However, there's one area where it seems to be lacking, and that even within the church community itself. And that is why we're focusing on this aspect of standing. As believers, it's not enough to simply check on each other's well-being. We are called to go beyond that and ensure that our brothers and sisters in Christ are standing strong in their faith and resisting temptations. Okay? Temptations can come in various forms. And it is our duty to support each other. It's our duty to encourage each other in overcoming them. Praise God. You see, just as our Lord Jesus Christ faced temptations during his 40 days and nights of fasting, we are faced with temptations every day. These temptations can be in the form of food, security, or luxury. As mentioned in the book of 1 John 2 and 16, which says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hence, the temptation of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life exists." These are the temptations the believer will face again and again. Now, the early apostles set an example by actively asking, or seeking to be with the brethren in the churches they established, showing the importance of maintaining close connections, the interconnectedness and support within the community of believers. They always carry the burden of wanting to be present amongst the brethren in the various churches they planted, with the primary aim to teach the believers, disciple the believers by equipping them and getting them established in the faith. Therefore, the reason for the various letters written to the church, even when the apostles were prevented from carrying out this their pastoral role, continued. We're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul as our case study. He wrote, 2/3 of the New Testament. So it's very important we consider his writing. And I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll just run through from 1 to 5 to 10. And I'm using the Amplified Classic. It says, "Therefore, when the suspense of separation and our yearning for some personal communication from you became intolerable, we consented to being left behind alone at Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's servant, in spreading the good news, the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and establish and exhort and comfort and encourage you in your faith. Verse 3, that no one of you should be disturbed and beguiled and led astray by these afflictions and difficulties to which I have referred. For you yourselves know that this is unavoidable in our position and must be recognized as our appointed lot." Verse 5 says, "That is the reason that when I could bear the suspense no longer, I sent that I might learn how you were standing the strain and the endurance of your faith, for I was fearful lest somehow the tempter had tempted you and our toil among you should prove to be fruitless and to no purpose." And verse 6 says, "But now that Timothy has just come back to us from his visit to you and has brought us the good news of the steadfastness of your faith and the warmth of your love, and reported how kindly you cherish a constant and affectionate remembrance of us, that you are longing to see us as we are to see you." Can you see the interconnectedness? Verse 7 says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God, in complete trust and confidence, because now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For what adequate thanksgiving can we render to God for you, for all the gladness and delight which we enjoy for your sakes before our God? And we continue to pray especially with most intense earnestness, night and day, that we may see your face, we may see you face to face and mend and make good whatever may be imperfect and lacking in your faith. So my brothers, my sisters, true faith in Christ provides believers with strength and resilience to endure true challenges such as trials, persecutions, and temptations, as emphasized in the book of 1 John chapter 10, verse 39, and the book of 1 John 5, verse 4 to 5. The apostles' deep concern for the Thessalonian Christians in the face of these adversities highlights the importance of genuine faith that can stand testing and adversity. Praise God. Let's look at the book of 1 John 5, verse 4 to 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In John 10 and verse 39 says, this, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. So my brothers, my sisters, true faith in Christ provides us with strength and resilience to endure true challenges and trials. Just like Jesus always found a way of escape, we will always find a way of escape. He will always provide us with ways of escape. Praise God. So the Apostle Paul's deep concern for the Thessalonian Christians in the face of these adversities highlights the importance of genuine faith that can withstand testing and adversity. Paul's eagerness to assess the authenticity, of their faith demonstrates the profound impact of enduring faith in navigating and overcoming life difficulties with unwavering conviction and trust in Christ. Let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 2. It says, by it also you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There is a need to hold firmly. That is what keeps us standing strong in the faith. 1 John, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So we mustn't lose faith. We mustn't lose faith. We must continue to believe and hold firmly to the word of God. As believers, it is not enough for us to simply check on each other's well-being. Like I said earlier, we are called to go above and beyond that. We are to ensure that our fellow believers are standing strong in the faith and resisting temptations, especially in times like this. We must stand with each other. We must, relieve the interconnectedness that God created man to exist as in the beginning. We must stand with each other, offering support and encouragement in times of struggle and doubt. This helps us to fight and stand in faith, resisting temptations. Just as a tree stands strong, because of its roots in the times of storms, so too do we need a strong foundation in our faith to remain steadfast in the face of adversity. Standing strong in our faith requires us to be vigilant. It requires us to be proactive in our spiritual lives. My brothers, my sisters, there is need to be vigilant in this faith walk we are in. There is need for us to be proactive in our spiritual lives. We must constantly be on guard against the temptations and distractions that seek to pull us away from God. Oh, there are lots of them. There are lots of them. There are lots of them, and they come slimy. We must be on guard. We must be on guard. Scriptures in the book of Proverbs says, well, guard your heart with all diligence. We must be on guard. Mount the garrisons against our hearts. This way, we are able to fight against temptations and distractions that seek to pull us away from God. And you see, standing alone would really limit our ability to stand this guard, because we need each other to watch each other's back. We need each other to stand strong and stand firm in the faith. By standing together as a community of believers, we can help each other to stay strong, you know, stay on the right path and grow in our relationship with God. This is the essence why God created fellowship. If God does not want us to, you know, have interconnectedness in the body of Christ, there wouldn't have been the need for fellowship. First, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and then command not to forsake the fellowship of brethren. Hallelujah. Let us not be, you know, content with simply checking on each other's well-being. Let us move further. Let us go deeper. Let us strive to be a source of strength and support to our fellow believers, standing with them in times of need and helping them stand strong in their faith. I'm reiterating again, we have been very good as a church, supplying the needs of each other materially. But I'm talking about us supplying the needs of each other spiritually. Let's be open to each other. Let somebody else be, your teacher, okay? Be your partner that can, you know, correct you with scriptures, that can help you return in alignment with God's will, you know, in times of difficulties and challenges where it looks like, it's like everything is falling right in front of you. Don't stand alone. Don't stand alone. Don't forsake the fellowship of brethren. Don't forsake the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we do this together, we can overcome any obstacle and grow stronger in our walk with God. It is very important for us to have, you know, accountability within the body of Christ, where we can lean on each other for support and guidance in resisting these temptations. The essence of this session is just to let us know that the standalone syndrome goes against God's design, from the ecosystem, you know, to the art of hunting, to, you know, looking at biology and science. God did not create his creatures, you know, to be standalone from the beginning. The standalone syndrome is against God's design for mankind, and it undermines the importance of, you know, the community and interdependence that ought to exist in the creatures he created. As believers, it is our responsibility to not only show love and empathy towards one another, but also to encourage and support each other in our faith. Encourage somebody else's ministry. Encourage them when they are down. Encourage them when they are struggling in their businesses. Encourage them when they are having health challenges. Encourage them when they are having marital challenges. You know, encourage those who are having, you know, issues with child upbringing, you know. Encourage those who are having challenges academically. Let's encourage each other with the word of God, not to motivate. I beg you, there's a difference between motivation and encouraging with scriptures. I want to draw a line here. You know, like my pastor says, there's a limit to what motivation can do for you in the face of pressures, in the face of challenges. Okay? But when you have the word of God deeply rooted in you, you have the strong convictions, nothing can shake you. Nothing can move you. This is what we're talking about. Our responsibility goes beyond meeting our needs materially or motivating each other. We must show that support that goes beyond financial, that goes beyond material. that goes beyond mere words of motivation. We should strive to build a strong community within the body of Christ. The letters of Paul the Apostle, the letters of Peter, the letters of John, they were not motivational. They were revelational. And such could empower the church. And today, see how far the church has come. Far, we cannot go far with motivations. We need deeply rooted word. We need revelation from scriptures. It begins with having sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit and continues with fellowship with other brethren. Don't leave anyone behind. Standalone syndrome is against God's original design. So this is a call for us to stand strong, but not alone. Stand strong, but not alone. Stand strong, but not alone. Let us strive to build a community, a strong community within the body of Christ, in our different spheres, in our local churches, where we can stand together and resist the temptations of the world as they are coming again and again. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. My prayer is that the Lord will open our eyes and our mind to understand the revelation lights embedded in this podcast. Lord, help every listener embrace this truth, that our interconnectedness and our dependence on God and others is vital for us to find true fulfillment and make a positive impact on the world to your glory. O Lord, enlighten our eyes of understanding to see the need for interconnectedness in the body of Christ in our faith lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you for listening. Hallelujah. Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013. With SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in cedis, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 5541020592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233 54 594 7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.